the artist that probably defined my childhood, Michael Jackson. He was the first full name that I could actually say, and I would like scream it, Michael Jackson, every time I saw him on TV.
For me, the album would be Boyz II Men's second album. I listened to that on repeat for years.
Well, I'd have to go with the Beatles because that was the sound of my childhood.
My album would be Little Feat because I used to listen to that with my dad when I was younger, and it brings back memories.
I don't know. Michael Jackson's Thriller, Depeche Mode, George Michael. It's a hard choice.
Welcome to Vinyl Decision, where the guests choose the music. And we're starting now.
Hi, welcome to Vinyl Decision. My name's Mark Thomas. What we do in the studio is what do we do on the show? We invite a guest in and they choose a vinyl record and we play it together and we have a listen to it and hopefully bring back some memories and discuss why they love that album. And today in the studio, here we go, I always struggle with this bit, Brandon Thompson, is
that
right?
That's right, yeah. Well, it's just like Thomas, except for just add the son.
You got half a good Thomason, surname there, yeah. Half a good surname. Good.
I'll cut it for you.
So, why are you in the studio? What are you doing in Taiwan? A quick bio.
Quickly, who I am. I'm a singer here in Taiwan.
I sing,
and I've got a band here called Adoa, and I've actually a number of projects, but Adoa is my primary.
And how long has that been going on? Are you a newbie on the island?
No, this has been 12 years now for me.
So you are a newbie, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome
comparatively
to Taiwan.
To you, yes, yeah. Yes, I am. Yeah.
I'm a dinosaur, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
No, good. 12 years then.
12 years, a while. Wow. A while now. And I've been lucky enough to sing in all different types of places and all different types of locations and cities all throughout Taiwan.
I hate to flatter my guests.
Go ahead.
But you must have been pretty young when you came here.
I was. Actually, I'm quite old right now. I'm 43.
Really?
Yeah, I'm 43. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're wearing it well.
Thank you. I came over just after 30, so.
It must be all that beer.
That's what it is. Yeah, it's the beer. Beer keeps me young.
Wow. Yeah. So you're not? Are you married? You see this?
I'm not married. But I do have a girlfriend, and I do have somebody who's listening, and I know that she'll be like, she's got the time to listen. I know that.
Good. Okay, well, I won't press you anymore.
No worries.
I will press you, though, to tell us. It's a vinyl decision.
Yep.
You gave me a few albums.
To choose from.
But we've gone with this one, and I'll let the audience know what you've chosen.
Did you choose? No, you let me choose this one because I had a four. I gave you four or five.
Yep.
You let me choose this one because you're thinking that maybe this is the opportune time to do this album, is that right?
I thought, knowing a bit about you and seeing your stage show and
I thought
that this album would be good for you to introduce it.
Definitely. Well, it's right up my alley. I love this album. And
are
the
you
album,
gonna tell them?
Sure, I'm about to. I'm building up the suspense.
Yeah, okay,
I'm building up the suspense right now. This is
I didn't realize I was working with a professional, see. I forgot about that.
The album, of course, is probably the biggest commercial success of all time, as far as albums go. Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Superb. Yeah. Well, I've been waiting for someone to do it. When you mentioned that you really wanted to do this one, I was very happy.
Oh, I'm very excited to do this one.
So what we'll do...
Yeah.
What we'll do is we'll play the first track.
Sure.
And then we'll have a chat more about it as we go through the show.
You know what I was wondering about this track, though?
Yeah.
This track's hilarious because... I know that they laid out all these songs. And they were like, what song should we start with? And I'm pretty sure that Quincy Jones was like, I don't know. Let's see. Let's look at Thriller. The name's going to be Thriller, I think, on the album.
Yeah.
But let's just go through. Why don't we start with...
I want to be starting something.
Yeah, exactly.
I have never thought of that before.
I know, right?
Quite mad.
No, I'm
quite
serious.
Mad. Brilliant. Okay,
exactly.
Well, let's have a listen to it on a Vinyl Decision.
So you want to be starting something. Fever, but nothing he found.
And there you go. So first time you listened to it on vinyl for a long time, I imagine.
Well, like you said, actually, I was thinking it's slow. Because yeah. I've heard it several times, and I've heard it on, you know, whether it be YouTube. I watched a video of it being performed live. I think he sped it up live, but it sounded slower. But now I've listened to it, and it's crisp. It's beautiful.
It's wide. Yeah. With the vinyl, you do get a broader range of the sound, and because it's so open, it kind of tends to sound a bit slower.
His vocals were so crisp. It sounded beautiful.
So they were so crisp. Could you tell us what he was singing at the end there, that refrain?
Mama say, mama sa, mama si, something like that, right? I only know, I've read some articles, and somebody was saying that it was Diwali. Diwali is a language. I'm not sure where it originates, but I don't know what it's about. I really wish I knew.
I think we need you to do more research for the next time you come back on the show. I need these questions answered.
You're right. But I know what the song's about.
Okay, you can save yourself here by telling us what the song is about.
All right, what's that song about? Well, this song, I mean, he wrote each song individually, obviously, and there's no real theme. You know, this whole album is a real hodgepodge of thrown together ideas.
If there was a theme to it, is it just like this celebration of disco or something?
No, this song is actually about the press, and like you want to be starting something, you want to get at me, you want to always start. Okay. You're putting my name in the press for stupid things, for things that I didn't do or things that I didn't. He actually says you're a vegetable. Which I actually had a fight with my brother, my little brother, about this, because I was saying you're a vegetable, and he's like, he wouldn't say you're a vegetable on a huge song. He wouldn't say you're a vegetable, you're a vegetable. And that's what he's saying.
Really?
It's saying you're a vegetable.
Are you sure?
Look at the lyrics. They're all overline. They're all online. Sorry. Okay. Really, I'm not joking. Anyways, that song is 6 minutes plus.
His problem with the press.
Problems with the press and problems with people lying about
and pretty who hardcore, he is. Pretty hardcore opening up a massive album like this with a 6 minute song.
I wonder how many fights he's had about that, because I know there's other fights in this. I know from what I've read, and there's a big.
Firstly, it was produced by
Quincy Jones.
Quincy Jones
and Michael Jackson to some extent.
Who Quincy Jones is as big a name, especially back then, in the music industry as anyone.
I mean, to think that Quincy Jones worked with Michael Jackson, of course, but look at who he's worked with before.
He worked
with
New Order.
He worked with New Order, but he worked with Frank Sinatra. You're dating back years.
If you look at Sinatra, I have some jazz albums by Quincy Jones made in the early 60s.
You're kidding.
I mean, the guy has been so prolific all his life, and
he really has.
Producing the world's biggest album.
And I think that Michael actually told him this needs to be one hit after another, because he was so upset about his previous album.
Oh, the Off the Wall album.
Off the Wall. Yeah.
And he was upset by that. And that was a genius album.
We both agree it's probably genius. A better album as far as
musically
maybe
appealing. I mean, it's a bit funkier. It's a bit more off the wall.
There you go. But it came at the end of disco, and that in the late 70s, there was that real backlash from disco.
Disco was a swear word almost.
Almost. You know, and he's tried to bring it back. And you can hear it. There's two or three disco songs that he squeezed in here. And I'm sure that Quincy was like, no, this is too disco. We're going to make this more R&B. We're going to make this more soul. I think Pretty Young Thing. Is quite disco, but we'll get to those. But
okay,
the point is Quincy Jones is amazing. Ray Charles, Frank Sinatra, and now putting this out. I mean, tremendous.
Okay, so what we're going to do? We're going to carry on listening to the album on Vinyl Decision. We're talking with Brandon Thompson in the studio here, who's our resident expert.
I love that. That's awesome.
Okay. Good. And the next track up is
number two. It's Baby Be Mine, right?
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Good.
I don't need no dreams when I'm by your side. Ooh. Every moment takes me to paradise. Darling, let me hold you. I'll warm you in my arms and melt your fears away. Show the magic that a perfect love
mountains for us to climb. I can't be still, you thrill me, baby, be mine. This will be a love lasting for all time. Girl, you got to hold me. We can touch the sky and light the darkest day.
Okay, we're in the studio now with Brandon. I know, yeah. Brandon, I know you want to talk more about the album, but I'd like first is a bit of background from you. Like, where are you from?
Well, I'm actually from a small town in Canada called Woodstock. You probably know Woodstock, of course, in England.
And
all over.
Woodstock's Cape Town.
Cape Town.
One in Cape Town.
Yeah, there's many Woodstocks over in Europe. I mean, Canada, we stole many names from Europe. It's almost like everybody missed home, so they started naming Paris and London.
Where is Woodstock?
Woodstock is about 2 hours south of Toronto, and it's a small town.
South of Toronto was America.
Well, yeah, kind of. I mean, 2 hours, it depends on which way you go. If you go southwest, you're going to Woodstock. Okay. If you go southeast, you're going to Buffalo.
Wow,
eerie,
okay.
Yeah. So
very eerie.
Yeah.
So you grew up there. That was your whole life.
I grew up there, and then I ended up moving to London, Ontario. Another amazing, English.
I recognize that.
Yeah, exactly. Well. And then I moved to Toronto. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I finished up in Toronto.
And so where were you when you first heard Michael Jackson?
Easily Woodstock. I was in Woodstock. It was a small town, 27,000 people, and we're famous for a cow that produced the most milk in southwestern Ontario.
Okay,
just let you know our mindset at the time.
Wake me up in a minute.
Right, exactly, exactly. The Springbank snow countess, dude. I went home and I took a picture next to the cow. I had to take a picture next to the cow. Every Halloween they painted that cow like purple and other colors. It was like vandals. That's how, and that became big news every year.
What color is it this year? Yeah?
Well, this year, of course, it's black and white now, but they always paint it like green, purple, whatever color they want. Yeah.
And you got your photo. I'm going to have to see this one.
Oh,
after
it's
the
great.
Show.
I'll show it to you. Yeah, okay. I'll show it to you. I got it on my phone.
And so
let me tell you about this.
That's where you saw it. That's where you first introduced to the Thriller album.
Exactly.
Were you a Michael Jackson fan before Thriller?
No, I had no idea. I had no idea. My dad brought it home. It's actually
for himself.
My dad is a lot to. I think he brought it home just for the family. This became a big event.
Wow. Okay.
I remember my dad. My dad was a huge Beatles fan.
Oh, that's
actually
interesting.
Right. We've been. I remember sitting at the table with him and being quite young. And then my father couldn't finish his food, and he was crying. And I was like, I don't understand why. My brother had just been born at the time, and he was an infant, and my mother was trying to keep the conversation going at the table.
Yeah.
And my father just got up. He threw his fork down. And I remember he threw his fork down so hard it like bounced off the table. And he went into the room and he just slammed the door. And I thought they were fighting. Mm. And my mother explained to me that somebody that my father liked very much has passed away. And John Lennon was shot and killed.
Okay.
My dad really loved John Lennon. My dad really, he had a lot of vinyl of the Beatles. And I thought they were ridiculous. And my dad had his name printed on the front.
Beautiful.
It was the Beatles, and then it said John Thompson over top of it.
We should have brought your dad on. He's way cooler than you.
Yeah, well, he actually is. But,
And so, he bought the Thriller album.
He did. He brought it home. And actually, I think he brought it home because Paul McCartney was on it.
Yeah, that would make sense.
We'll talk about that. But my brother, my father brought it home. And right away, I was like, wow, this guy, first of all, his hair. I was blown away by his hair and his outfit, the white clothes. I thought that was really cool. And then when we opened up the sleeve, the inside of the album cover, has Michael Jackson holding a tiger.
Yep.
Now, my brother's name is Tyler, but my father always called him Tiger.
Oh, nice.
So, I mean, I thought that was going to be my album. That was for the family. But I got to listen to it. My brother took the sleeve, and he brought it into his room, and he put it on the back of his door. He hung it up with Michael Jackson holding a tiger. Because it was a baby tiger, and he was like, yeah, Michael Jackson's cool, and he
so
loved
you lost the album.
He was three at the time. Yeah, I lost the album. I was 9 or 10. And that's when I kind of fell in love with Michael Jackson and just how amazing every single track on this album is.
So you would play the vinyl?
I would play the vinyl. Oh, yeah, we had a vinyl in my place. It was awesome. I had a giant, it was like... It looked like a giant Sony machine, one of those massive ones.
With the
built-in speakers, and we'd open it up.
They're lovely.
Oh, they were great. They were great. And the first, so here's the thing. I got Beat It as a 45. And then he brought home Beat It as a 45, and I played it a lot. Mm. I loved the guitar. And at the time, I really liked guitar. Another album that I wanted to do, Black Sabbath, I was a huge fan of.
Air guitar. You were an air guitarist.
I was an air guitarist. Yeah, well, I was a huge fan of guitar. I was blown away. And when I heard Beat It and that solo, I was like, this is amazing. And you know what? I'll get down to it later. But I'm telling you, when I first heard a lot of the tracks on here, I was blown away. But then everyone knew this album. It wasn't mine, though.
You couldn't go and talk to people. I couldn't even have the album cover.
I couldn't. I said I love Thriller. Somebody loved it more than me. I said I love Beat It. Everyone knows the words. I didn't even know the words to all of Beat It, you know? This album was the world's album. It's the biggest selling album of all time.
But now we're gonna carry on listening to it. But we've got to do the Paul McCartney song, which I hate.
I know.
I'm coming straight out here. I really don't like
this
track.
This was the very first track they recorded for this album.
And I did suggest that if we ran out of time that we could drop a track. And I was going to drop this one.
But hold on. I was really tormented with this track because this track, I liked Michael Jackson quite a bit. But then as I found out about Paul McCartney being in the Beatles, I went back and listened to my father's old Revolver and the White Album and all of those.
So there is an upside to this track.
I fell in love with a lot of the Beatles from this. I went back and listened to it. And the Beatles were phenomenal. And I loved Love Me Do. That was the harmonica.
Okay.
I started playing harmonica because of that.
You do save yourself quite well with these. When you say you Love Me Do, it's Love Me Do.
I love the
harmonica on it is mind-blowing.
But then I listened to The Girl Is Mine, and to hear them fight over a girl, and at the time, girls are kind of yucky.
Yeah.
so to have them fight, they still are kind of yucky. You go in those phases, right? But you know, I don't want to get cooties or anything. But I'm telling you that to have them fight over a girl on an album, and then at the end when they're doing their rap, which is I love they call it a rap. But to have and I always thought it was so cool that Paul McCartney ended the argument going, I don't believe you.
Yeah. That was pretty good, Paul McCartney.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, we're going to listen to the track now. We'll do it.
Every night she walks right in my dreams since I met her from the start. I'm so proud I am the only one who is special in her heart. The girl is mine. Doggone girl is mine. I know she's mine. Because the doggone girl is mine. I don't understand the way you think, saying that she's yours, not mine. Sending roses and your silly dreams. Really just a waste of time, because she's mine.
tell you I'm the one for her. Cause she said I blow her mind. The girl is mine. The doggone girl is mine. Don't waste your time. Because the doggone girl is mine.
She's mine.
She's mine.
No, no, no.
I'm not gonna fight about this, okay?
Paul, I think I told you. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
I've heard it all before, Michael. She told me that I'm her forever lover, you know, don't you remember?
Well, after loving me, she said she couldn't love another.
Is that what she said?
Yeah, she said it. You keep dreaming.
I don't believe it.
No.
That was,
yeah.
That was the first.
That was the rapping. Was that,
that was the first rap ever recorded. I'm pretty sure. I don't want to go back and talk about Curtis Blow and everybody else. But no, that they consider that rapping.
Okay, so Paul McCartney. So you can thank Michael Jackson for turning you on to the Beatles.
I think so. I remember a few years back, Paul McCartney did something with Kanye West and Beyonce.
Yeah,
and the internet
blew
up, and they were like, this guy's going to be... Oh, Rihanna, that's right, Rihanna. Rihanna and Kanye West, and it, the internet blew up.
It's good
up,
you'll be like, Yvonne's here.
See. Thank you. Thank you for letting me know.
For the young person's,
Rihanna.
Young person's point of view, we got Yvonne here, thankfully.
Rihanna. But anyway, they did an album together, right? I forget what it was, but it was... Do you remember the name?
45 seconds
or something? Four or five seconds. Yeah. And the internet blew up. They were like, boy, this Paul McCartney guy... He's going to blow up now.
He's going to be big, yeah.
He's going to be big. A lot of people actually did that. Hashtag Paul McCartney. And it became a big thing. And they're like, this guy, maybe he's got a future, you know? He's going to be maybe the next Ed Sheeran.
He's a bit old, but he's...
They didn't know who this guy... Yeah, anyway. But Paul McCartney, this was my introduction to Paul McCartney, and it kind of changed the way I listened to music. And I went back. My dad had a plethora of Beatles albums, so I was... quite content for the next couple of months.
That would have sorted you out, yeah.
It really was awesome. It was amazing.
To dive into that big swimming pool called the Beatles would have...
you'd be surprised. I really liked their early stuff. And then when they started getting into, you know, Cuckoo Cuckoo, and I was like, okay.
The White Albums... I didn't like the White Album at first.
You
but
didn't?
Recently I've gone back to it and because people keep telling me...
Because Charles Manson, right?
Yeah. If that was an influence, then yeah, why not you know, explore that?
A lot of good stories about Helter Skelter. A lot of good stories about that.
But we're doing
Michael Jackson.
We're doing Michael Jackson today.
We're going to carry on
with the album because we've talked so much, but we will try to get as much of the songs
as
possible.
Okay. All right. Let me tell you about my dad. When he brought this home, he was really happy because
The track Thriller.
Thriller's next. Yep. My father was really happy about this album because everybody was talking about it at his work. Everybody was talking about it in everywhere.
What was your father's name?
John Thompson. Yeah,
so
John
what did
Patrick.
What did John do? What was his job?
He worked at he was actually a break and shift operator at a welding factory. All the guys on the line were talking about it and. Everybody that he break and shear operator, and he said that everybody at work talked about it, and everybody that he knows loves this album.
So he
should bring it home, and he brought it home, and I was blown away, and he was less than enthused by the amount of tracks on the album. He was like, do you know how much money I paid for this, Brandon, and how long I waited in line for this album? Because there was only one record shop in all of town.
So he waited
in line for like an hour or so just to bring it home to be proud.
And he was annoyed.
And I was underwhelmed because I didn't know who he was.
Okay.
But at the same time, there was only, he said, there's 9 songs. 9!
He felt ripped off, yeah?
Yeah, well, he's...
That's
he's
a fairly Canadian other... trait, yeah. Maybe. I just want more songs.
One more song.
I spent my money. I worked hard breaking and shearing or whatever he
who
did.
Cares, like, yeah, who cares if there's only 9? Who cares if there's only 9 songs? There should be at least a minimum... I remember him saying, minimum 14 songs. I remember him closing the door in the washroom. He closed the door and he was... I think he was shaving or something in the morning. He said, a minimum 14 songs is all I'm asking. It's like whoever Michael Jackson's ripping us off right now. I was like, oh. I said, but the first song is over 6 minutes long, and he was like, yeah, well, Black Sabbath does 14-minute songs.
Does your father ever come to Taiwan?
He's married a Taiwanese woman.
So it,
he does.
So
sometimes.
When's he coming on the show? I need to talk to him,
you
man.
Should,
I need to like.
Well,
skip.
Last time he was here is 2013. He doesn't really love the traffic or the atmosphere here, if you will.
Okay.
But I'll convince him to come back.
Yeah, tell him I'll pay for his beer on the flight.
Oh, that's perfect. Oh, he'll do it then. All right.
Good. Okay, we're gonna try and carry on with the album now.
Yes.
Now and it's the
should we
title
build a
track.
Let's do it. This is the title track. This is Thriller. Thriller is of course the, I think that it's the first music video. This changed the course of music video history.
It did. I don't know how they released it in Canada.
Yeah.
Did you have TVs back then?
This was black and white. Everything was black and white back then.
Okay.
So
when they did it in England, they showed it at midnight.
Did they?
Yeah, and it was a big thing.
I think
everybody
at midnight too.
You went home from the pub, and tonight's the night they're doing the Michael Jackson Thriller video, and they put it on at midnight, and it lasted like 15 minutes.
Yeah, it was.
It was like
a
real video.
It was an event. It was an event.
Superb.
It was a movie, right? I mean, John Landis directed it.
That's right.
Directed it, and it was a big deal. And I remember they released later like a documentary about it,
the
making of Thriller. But this was. This changed the course
amazing.
Of music history.
It was amazing.
It really was.
What do they call those things where people all start dancing at the same time?
Yeah. And then, of course, the dance now. I mean, look online. Yep. This dance has been done so much.
It's that one, isn't it?
Everyone
listening to the radio knows what we're doing now.
Yeah, exactly. They all know. Shoulder thing. I always thought the shoulder thing was cool. But there's lots of moments in this video where I'm just like, why doesn't she just run away? I mean, she tried
because
at the
it's
beginning,
Michael Jackson.
But she could have run away. Like there's many times where there's zombies. There were slow zombies too.
Okay, I've got to break it. It's not a true story. Okay,
it's not.
It's not true. So
it's like they're Romero zombies. Romero zombies aren't scary at all. A Romero zombie comes for you, and you're just like, is that a zombie?
Yeah.
Hold on, let me check.
Let me give you a hug.
It is a zombie. No, wait, hold on. Let me get binoculars out. You know what I mean? Zombies aren't scary.
Can
They're
we
slow.
Listen to the track
it's
now,
fine,
Brandon.
Let's listen to this track.
We're going to listen to the track.
close at hand. Creatures crawl in search of blood to terrorize your neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hounds of hell and rot inside a corpse's shell. Stenches in the air, the funk of 40,000 years, and grisly ghouls from every tomb are closing in to seal your doom. And though you fight to stay alive, your body starts to shiver, for no immortal can resist the evil of the thriller.
Longest time I thought that that was actually Michael Jackson laughing, because at the end of Thriller he turns around with those those yellow eyes and does the cackle. But yeah, Vincent Price from Vincent Price was a family friend of Quincy Jones' wife. So we're turning over. This is side two, and side two is way better.
I didn't even realize we were recording. And I was like,
we're recording, right?
Brandon, we are
recording. No, just a side two. Now we're getting over to side two. Side two is my favorite side because there's all the songs that are on here. Let's start it off because I know we're running short on time.
Yeah,
let's
gonna go to beat it.
We're gonna do a Michael Jackson wrote this song, and it's genius.
So beat it, just beat it.
Hey, we're in the studio with Brandon Thompson. We're listening to Michael Jackson's Thriller. And we've talked so much, we're struggling to get all the tracks in we'd like. But I think we're going to get there.
We will. That Beat It was his song. Michael Jackson wrote that song, and of course he has no musical ability necessarily.
He doesn't play any instrument.
If you can go online, you go on YouTube and just find the raw audio of Michael Jackson singing Beat It. He sang it into
He
sung the music, everything that all the guitar riffs and everything.
You go da 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 da
da da da. Yeah, he sang that into a recorder and said to a guitar player, "Play that for me." And I think it was the guitar player from Toto who played it. And then Eddie Van Halen.
And that big guitar solo, you were saying?
Eddie.
Yeah. Eddie Van Halen.
Eddie Van Halen, yeah.
Who was a great guy, apparently.
Apparently. Well, he got paid quite a bit of money for that solo.
He got $1 million, you say.
He did, yeah.
And how long did that solo last?
23 seconds, 24 seconds, yeah.
It's not a bad pay rate.
No, it's pretty good. I would go for that. If I could play guitar like that, I would.
I'm going to have to work out my calculator hourly rate there.
Exactly. The next song, now this one, I just wanted to say this. I know that I heard great stories about this because Quincy Jones and Michael Jackson, this was their first huge fight over this song. Next song is Billie Jean.
Interesting. Billie Jean, yeah.
And Billie Jean, I mean, an amazing beginning. The bass is probably the most iconic bass riff of all time. Doom, 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 doom. You know, that's incredible. Yeah. But Michael Jackson said, listen, we have to have that beginning to be that long. 30 seconds, 35 seconds before vocals even kick in.
Yeah.
You know, and Quincy was like, no, listen, disco's dead. Michael said, listen, the beginning makes me want to dance, and I want people to dance when they hear this song. And Quincy said, listen, no song goes more than 20 seconds without vocals. And this is very unique, and Michael fought for it, and he was able to get it in.
Did it work?
I mean, let's listen. If you're not dancing when you listen to this, come on.
She was more like a beauty queen from a movie.
Brendan, has anybody ever said that you talk a lot? You've never heard that before now?
Only every one of my ex-girlfriends. I'm just joking.
All three of them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got to the end of the show. It's been the fastest hour ever.
It's been a pleasure, though.
No, it's been fantastic.
Yeah, there's a lot of great stories.
I think maybe after the show, we're going to play the album again and talk all the way through it again.
Let's do it.
Because it's been fun.
It has.
I want to thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to go out with what track?
I want to go out with Human Nature. I know we talked about Pretty Young Thing or Human Nature.
I know
Nature.
You wanted to dedicate Pretty Young Thing to a good friend of yours.
To a good friend of mine, to a beautiful girl.
What is her name?
Crystal, who's probably
nice
listening,
name.
Yes.
So we were going to dedicate that to Crystal, but we're going to go out with Human Nature.
Human Nature, can I tell a little bit about Human
Nature?
You
can. You've got about 8 seconds.
Sure. Human Nature, well, basically Michael Jackson was upset with how Human Nature was going. But he heard he went home, and then Stevie Wonder, who was recording next door, had heard what was going on in the studio and came over to see Quincy Jones. And Quincy Jones and Quincy told him the problems, and Stevie said, "Listen, let me listen to it." And he turned it up really loud in the booth, and it just kind of took over the entire sound booth. And Quincy Jones says one of the happiest moments he ever had was dancing with Stevie Wonder in the booth to Human Nature. So if anybody's listening to this, if you can get headphones,
turn it up right now.
Turn it up right now.
Okay. Beautiful.
And enjoy.
Beautiful. Thank you, Brandon.
You're very welcome.
And thank you for listening to Vinyl Decision.
You've been listening to Vinyl Decision. Join us once again next week, same time, same place, for another rendezvous with another guest making their final decision.
You say goodbye, and I say hi.